Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Yes, welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
And it's been a bit of a goal fest over the weekend. Obviously, DC United conceded a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. Manchester United conceded a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Everton, they conceded a lot of goals as well. So that's kind of the theme of the show there, but we'll start as always with the game with the changing
room. No. Listen, we've got a bit of stuff to talk about before we get into the game with changing name. Mm. I wasn't going to mention it actually, but considering that you've just brought up teams conceding goals, just stepping away slightly from MLS just for the moment. Norwich had a great weekend, didn't you? Are you enjoying the Premier League still?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's really good how every other team can afford to spend millions and we can't. I think that's really good because it keeps us grounded. I think that's important.
Yeah. You don't want to get above your level, do you?
No, it's good for morale, you know?
Yeah. Very good. This weekend would have been great for morale.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I tweeted as well saying I think it's really great that Josh Sargent sort of fitted into to sort of help us do what we do on a daily basis, you know, just constantly having to defend the fact that Americans can actually sometimes play football stroke soccer.
Yeah.
That miss was really good for that, and it sort of, you know, raised my profile a bit, you know, so that's nice.
Oh, you're talking about the one, not this weekend when you lost 7-0 to Chelsea, but the one the week before where was it an open goal he missed?
It was an open goal where no goalkeeper, no defenders, nothing.
No.
But I just think scoring Josh Sargent getting a Premier League goal would have been bad for sort of the whole thing about how Americans can't play football. You know, I think he's kept that alive, which is good.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on slightly to a player who an American player who can play football. Just a brief one, saying we give away our Weston McKennie shirt in association with Soccer 90.
I was going to say Pulisic didn't score, believe it or not.
No, one of the only players for Chelsea who didn't. So well done to Melanie Isbell, who is from Dallas. So it saves on money.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, saves Soccer 90 on money.
They'll be able to drop
it
round.
Yeah, but well done to her. Hopefully, we'll be doing more stuff like that with Soccer 90, and we've had a few competitions lately. We announced our FIFA 22 winner last time as well, so stick with us on MLS UK show, the only podcast based in Elliot's garage that gives away prizes for our listeners.
Yes, dedicated to you and the garage.
And speaking of prizes, we mentioned on the last episode as well that it was the Football Content Awards this year. We was up for Best Podcast International. And yeah, if you follow us on social media, you'll be able to see that we won bronze in our category. So every episode you see, we've got our silver award there on Elliot's desk. So Elliot, please get rid of silver. No one wants to win silver.
Who wants silver?
First runner-up. Well, you want second runner-up. Here we go. Here is our new bronze award.
Isn't that better?
Yeah.
That's much better.
Although, because you got to keep the silver, I get to keep the bronze. So the silver will probably go back on the table next time when I forget to bring it with me. But thank you to everyone who voted for us. Thank you to everyone who was liking and following us on the night as well. It was a great night. We really enjoyed it. And it's very humbling to win the bronze award in that category.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before we talk then about another busy weekend in MLS, actually we've got quite a lot coming up on the show today. We've got new MLS UK Show Championship champions. Yeah. I'm going to be bringing to your attention the best co-commentator in MLS. That's there, the clips that I asked you to put on the desk. So we're playing those very shortly as well. And we've got A Crisis Is Right, and it's going to be Henry's Guide to Dallas today. But before any of that, Elliot, it's the game with a changing name. Who is it this week?
Well, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I will happily read you their career path. This is a player who's played in the UK and in MLS as well. I'm going to be honest with you. I discovered them by accident.
They're the best ones.
I've never heard of them.
Okay, right. However, so that gives me confidence.
However, though, they did play for quite a big Premier League team around the time that we would have been really getting into football. So I think it's my bad that I haven't heard of them. So put my faith in you. They were born in 1971.
Ah, right. So they'll be, what, 50?
Quick maths, yeah. 50 years old. They were born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in 1994, they signed for FC Saarbrücken. Obviously, I've dumbed that down a bit, but it's probably pronounced something a little bit more exotic. But they play in the third tier of football in Germany. Okay. They then went to Nuremberg, which I've actually heard of. And then in 1996, 90 appearances for New England Revolution.
Right, okay. So, they were born in... Sorry, they were born in America, moved to Germany, and then moved back to America.
Yeah, so he played 90 times for New England Revolution, and then got a move to Everton from New England Revolution.
I think I know who it is.
Do you? I've never heard of them in my life.
How many times did he play for Everton?
52.
Did they score a few as well?
8.
Okay, I think I know. And I know because he's got I remember his name very vividly. I'm not going to say it just yet. Where did he go after Everton?
New England Revolution.
Right, okay.
And then that's it. So he then played 19 times for New England Revolution, and that's that. He also made 100 appearances for the States between 92 and 2002.
Yeah, I think I know it is.
I've never heard of... Is it bad that I've never heard of them?
No, it's not. It just reminds me of... it just reminds me of watching the Premier League in the late 90s. And it was the Everton kit... One-to-one with our sponsor.
Yeah.
And I think it Umbro did it. So a very niche memory. Do you know how you just remember random things?
Yeah.
And obviously at that time we weren't watching MLS, so we wouldn't have paid attention to an American coming over here.
I clearly wasn't watching Everton either. So.
No, but I think I know. If you know, get in touch at MLS UK Show on Twitter, Instagram, or you can comment in the below this video on YouTube, and it tells us a timestamp of where you're up to, so we know if you've gone back to the end and then come back and gone, oh, I know, it's this person. We know.
And Henry's obviously a lot older than me, and that's why he knows the player and I don't. So.
Yeah, that whole 11 months, I think it is.
Doesn't matter. So he's a year older than me. Okay, Henry, I think it's time for a word from our sponsors.
The MLS UK Show.
Thanks, Elliot. Yeah, it's me, Elliot, and I'm here to tell you about soccer90.com. It's the place to go for all your MLS merch. Get your jerseys on there. They've got something from every single MLS team, plus some Premier League kits as well. Still working on Norwich.
If you want to get all your European soccer shirts, also some MLS stuff as well, and international ones, head to Soccer90. And if you use MLS UK in the discount code, you get 25% off too.
even though they don't have Norwich.
MLS UK show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
So we're going to have a look now at what happened in MLS this weekend. But before we do, just a quick shout out to Sports Social. They're the podcast network that we're with. Head to sport-social.co.uk. Easy for me to say. And you can check out all the other podcasts on there that they there is in the network. Loads of stuff, whether it's about Premier League, soccer in general. There's even other sports as well. So you'll be entertained if you head there. And also, you'll be able to listen to us again if you wanted to. All of our
that good.
All of our back catalogue is on their website as well. Right, looking back at this weekend then, we've got to start with New England Revolution, not just because they played Orlando, but because it was confirmed for the first time in their history. And remember, they are one of the MLS OGs.
Yeah.
They've won the Supporters' Shield. I mean, we've said enough about New England Revolution this year. Well deserved. There's a reason why they're 20 points clear of Philadelphia in second in the conference. They've just smashed it. And if they get another 3 points in the last two games, they'll actually break LAFC's record from 2019 for regular season points. And you couldn't argue if they did. They've been incredible.
Oh, absolutely not. It's been that level of dominance that we saw from LAFC. I may even say better. I think they've been, they've certainly been more of a team, I think, and they've certainly been pushing to turn draws into wins and on the odd occasion to turn losses into draws in the final few minutes as well. They've really, really, really pushed and pushed and pushed right till the final whistle every single game, sometimes twice a week, of course. So they deserve all the accolades, and I'm surprised to hear it's their first ever Supporters' Shield, but it's deserved. This is the most dominant they've ever been. We've not seen a good New England Revolution side ever since we've been watching MLS in the last 5-6 years. So, you know, I'm really enjoying seeing somebody different up there. Genuinely, it's really refreshing. And congratulations to them. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the side and the team, and when we compare it to teams in recent years who have broken records or have been at the top of the league, you look at that LAFC team in 2019, and they were noticeable. They had Carlos Vela in, they've got some great players in. The Atlanta team and New York Red Bulls of the season before. And you look at this squad and you think, I was watching it last night against Orlando, and you look at the squad, and I know they made 9 changes, but you think, oh, well, it is more of a unit. It's more of a squad. You've got, you know, players that are pitching in certain areas that you wouldn't necessarily notice. And then, of course, they bring on the 3 DPs. They bring on Gustavo Bow, they bring on Carlos Hill, and they bring on Buxer as well. And then you think, ah, there's the star names that have gotten to the top.
Yeah, and actually, I don't want to make this about Orlando, but I think that's exactly what Orlando don't have. You know, because I think whether, you know, even though they've now got DK back, I think in terms of DPs, I think they're really lacking in someone who could come on and really, really influence a game. And I think that illustrated for me just how strong the New England Revolution roster is. Maybe at the start of the season, you thought, it's okay. It's above average. And they've proved me wrong, because they've absolutely dominated. And I'm really pleased for them.
Yeah. Yesterday, Orlando, they were dominating their match. They well deserved a 2-0 lead. And then they came on. Matt Turner made some good saves as well. And they showed their quality this season, and they have been that good. So congratulations to them. It's a challenge now to win MLS Cup. We know that it is difficult to win both, but if there's a man to do it, Bruce Arena is that man, and he's proved it before, and he could well prove it again.
I think this is the first time that I've really backed someone who's won the Shield to win the playoffs, because they, like I just said, they just get the job done. It doesn't matter. They do what they need to do. And they worked tirelessly until the final whistle, and it's earned them so many points. That 20 points that they've got, I guarantee, if you do the maths, I haven't because I'm lazy. I guarantee that has been won. Those 20 points at least have been won in the final 10 minutes.
Yeah, they do fight to the end. And, you know, if you look at, say, Philadelphia last year, they won Supporters' Shield. they didn't have the dominance of what New England have had, and it showed because they were eliminated in the first match they played. New England Revolution, you put them up against any side in the East, I don't see how they don't get to MLS Cup.
No.
You know, if they're facing like Seattle or Sporting KC in the final, okay, that's a different matter. But as far as I'm concerned, it's New England's to lose.
It's going to be fascinating to watch, I think, from a different perspective. Like you say, it's theirs to lose. I don't know if I've gone into a playoffs previously and gone, yeah, actually, they are really that dominant. I know LAFC, you expected it, but you kind of knew that there was a chance because they had some freak results throughout the season as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this is the first time you're like, they have to go and win it. They have to. They have to be in that final.
Yeah. Just a quick word on Orlando then. Pato was back on the bench, which I mean...
Who?
Oh, you signed him in the close season, DP. You know, the New England DPs, this is yours. He just hasn't really played yet.
No, straight off my admit.
But if he does play and he does start scoring, what a great time to come in before the playoffs.
Imagine if he makes himself a hero in the playoffs, having literally played one game all season.
It's happened before. Orlando are four points clear in the playoffs. They're 3 points clear of the line to get a home game. You've got some good results recently. You've put yourself in a very good position.
Yeah, like I've said to you before, and I know you laugh, but I am being serious. I haven't enjoyed this year. They've not played good football. It's not been good to watch. They've just kind of ground out results. I think the roster's way better than the results they've got, if I'm completely honest. I know we missed DK for a lot of it. I wouldn't criticise the coaching team as long as they make the playoffs, but I think that's the bare minimum because that roster's good, you know, and they've had games where they've played really well, but it's not been a consistent thing. It's not been a joy to watch this season, but as long as they make the playoffs, we'll worry about it when we get there.
Yeah, and you mentioned DK there. You've finally got a player who can score a penalty against Matt Turner, so it's looking up for Orlando. Next, we're going to do the big three matches as far as we see it, and then we'll talk about the rest in order of when they played at the weekend. So the next one, Seattle 1, Sporting KC 2. This was the biggest match of the weekend. For me, I watched it. It was end-to-end. It was brilliant. Although the big talking point, it was Tim Melia and on Roldan, he thought he'd give him a bit of a rock bottom. The Rock commented on this actually on Twitter, which I thought was great. Should he have been sent off for this?
Honestly, please don't get me started. This... It's absolutely pathetic. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen. And then to not be sent off for it is unbelievable. And do you know what I think is even worse? Because mistakes can be made in the game, okay? And then VAR can make a mistake by not giving a red card.
Yeah.
However, for the league to then tweet it out and say, oh, was it the right call? Sponsored by Pringles. And to tweet out, you know, images of the Rock's, you know, what the Rock had to say about it. No, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
This is what we're up against. Because people over here see that and they go, what are you doing? What are you watching? What is this league? It's a joke. And I actually feel more strongly about the league's reaction and the league stance on it than what happened. These bizarre things happen in games,
right?
And he shouldn't have done it. He should have been sent off. I think we're all in agreement. There's no conversation to be had there. But the way that the league then parade it round, it just makes it look like a circus. It's pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, if MLS didn't touch that, but if Sporting KC did, if they retweeted The Rock and then all the other, like ourselves and our Extra Time, the other sort of YouTube channels and
you say that like we've got any influence whatsoever.
But social media, if they then retweeted it and were laughing, then that's fine. But yeah, I get your point with that. MLS doing it is like, you just, because as well, if the referee after the game sees that again and goes, oh, I made a mistake there, the league then are punishing the ref again. So, it's gone around the world again, something in MLS. But on the pitch, Sporting KC, great win this. This was a very... it's put them 3 points behind Seattle now with a game in hand to try and get to the top of the West. Can they do it, do you think?
So I'm just looking back at the game. The amount of yellow cards handed out to Seattle players.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't send Melia off.
No.
It's absolutely incredible. So all those occasions where he's given out a yellow, he's gone, yeah, that's the same as what the goalkeeper did. but back to your original question. these two have been the standout, haven't they? Let's be honest. These two are the standout. And I think when you look at the West, in terms of points, yes, Colorado are up there as well, and Seattle are starting to slip. But for me, Seattle and Kansas City have been so far ahead. I think maybe the points don't quite illustrate how much they've dominated. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think credit to Colorado because we didn't expect them to be up there. And they've stayed up all season and they now level on points with Sporting KC. They just haven't got that game in hand. But I get your point. You look at Seattle and Sporting KC have been sort of the benchmark for this league this season. If that's the conference final, no one would bat an eyelid.
Not at all, no.
You would expect it. But yeah, Johnny Russell with a winner, his 79th minute. He does it every year. The evergreen Johnny Russell. He's settled in MLS well and truly. And he's every season he's one of our best players and he continues to be impressive.
He's only 31, which I'll be honest, same age as you. I thought he was way off. Yeah. He was way off.
He looks a lot younger than me, but this is the thing we do say about, especially players here in the UK, they're knocking around a Championship or League One. Go to America, go play for a team in the States or Canada, in MLS, because you get a great career. It's a great life out there as well. He's enjoyed it. He's continuing to be one of the better players and he'll go down as a Sporting KC hero. Whereas if he would have stayed, he was at Derby, wasn't he?
Yeah. You don't want to be there.
No, he probably wouldn't be there now, but he would still be at a similar kind of club, or he may have dropped down to League One and it rains all the time here and it's cold. So you might as well live out in the States.
You don't get rock bottomed. No. And he's played 23 of their games, started 4 as a sub, and he's a designated player. And we were talking about New England Revolution. They've really got some strong designated players. Johnny Russell's still doing the business for SKC, 31 years old. Thought he was older.
Yeah, but they're not the... We talked about before about the big names of say, LAFC in the past and Atlanta. They aren't massive names, but they do a job and they're consistent, and that's what you want from your DPs. The last in the big three, what we're calling it this week, was a very impressive result for New York City FC. They'd really struggled for form. They then got a late equaliser at Atlanta on Wednesday, and now they've well and truly turned it around. I've got to say, DC, probably one of the worst 10-minute defensive displays I've ever seen. They were 3-0 down after 10 minutes. But was that down to NYCFC being good, or do you think that's DC being bad? Because this is an isolated result. DC have not been this bad all season.
Do you remember on the last podcast we praised managers realising it's not going well and making a huge amount of substitutions at once? DC Losada made 5 subs.
Didn't work.
In the 46th minute.
Well, technically it did, because they were 4-0 at halftime and it only ended 6-0.
Yeah, okay, if you want to take positives. but no, it's a dominant display from New York City. We were starting to be concerned that they may have been slipping, weren't we, on the last podcast? So a real show of dominance. And this could be, well, could have been, maybe less so now, this could have been a playoff matchup.
Yeah.
And, you know, 6-0 in a playoff game would be crazy. But that's a real level of dominance. It's got them right back up into fifth, and it's going down to the wire.
It is. Decision day is in 2 weeks. I can't wait. That's our next episode. Will be just after decision day. So we'll do a playoff preview then. By the way, if you do want to watch our playoff predictions from 2 weeks ago, we predicted who we thought were going to get into the playoffs. I mean, looking at some of these results this weekend, that looks, some of the things we said looks very silly right now. But search as MLS UK Show on YouTube. Some of you will already be watching on YouTube. But subscribe while you're there and you can watch that back.
In my defense, I'm just looking now. I said Montreal would drop out and they have. Mm. And I said Atlanta would be there and they are. I just knew you'd do it.
Well, I mean, we are on the same point, so I'm not celebrating just yet. DC are just below Montreal, actually. They're in ninth. Mm. They're 2 points off Atlanta.
Atlanta got a game in hand with Red Bulls, though.
They do, so that's going to maybe this result... I mean, it's all about how you react. If DC go win the last 3 games, then they will get in the playoffs. But this could really hinder what they're planning to do, and they could fall off a cliff now. So that's interesting to see. Right, we'll go through the rest of the games then. We'll do it from, you know, the start of the weekend to the end. Columbus Crew 1, New York Red Bulls 2. You mentioned their Red Bulls, they're sixth. They're in the playoffs. One of the teams level on points with Montreal, just out, but have got that game in hand. They've really turned it around, haven't they? They beat New York City FC last week, and they are one of the favourites to get in the playoffs now.
Yeah, and this is the thing, we've just spoken about New York. That was, you know, when they're having maybe a bit of a rocky patch, and then they've come back and shown their dominance, and that puts that win in perspective.
It does. Columbus, they're 5 points off the playoffs, 9 points available. They aren't going to get in the playoffs now. It's been a disappointing defensive MLS Cup for them. But next year, they're in the new stadium now. Everything's sorted off the pitch as well. There are a few distractions with changes of name and stuff, so you'd fancy him under Caleb Porter to come back stronger. Well, I would anyway. Philadelphia 1, Nashville 0. This was the battle for second in the East. Shabelko penalty after 18 minutes won it for Philadelphia. They're on the same points, and they need one more win to secure the place, but realistically They have secured it. Yeah. They're 5 points above the line to get a home tie as well in the playoffs.
They're both going to be fine.
Yeah. After that, it was the Toronto versus Montreal, the Canadian Classique. Montreal were 1-0 up. It was Toronto were in charge of this game, I've got to say. They should have won it, but Montreal went 1-0 up.
But that's been their story.
It has, and you can't, for 3 games to go, you can't be dropping points like this, especially against teams with respect to Toronto who were already eliminated.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised that Montreal allowed it to be a contest because, you know, when you just look at the standings, step back from everything, you know, look at the standings, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know this is probably going to be a dominant Montreal performance, but it wasn't. And that really surprised me, especially when Montreal have got so much on the line.
Yeah, Altidore, though, with the equaliser. He keeps on popping up every now and again just to remind us that he's here. do you think there's... Well, what's the future for Altidore now? Is he... I don't know, will Toronto stick with him? Is he going to... Do you think he'll just bounce around the league like the likes of Bradley, like Wright Phillips have done?
For me, he's, you know, he's Mr. Toronto, but you kind of feel like he needs a breath of fresh air. Maybe a move like Wright Phillips had. Probably take him at Orlando, to be honest with you. So,
hey, there's a lot to be said for retirement down in the sunshine.
This is you're not wrong.
Fair to Toronto.
I'm working on it. A few weeks time.
Chicago Fire 1, RSL 0. 30,000 people were there, which is great for Chicago. Hopefully, a few of those can stick around for the next season as well. Chicago already eliminated. RSL. It was always going to be a difficult game with that many fans in the stadium, but they now find themselves 2 points off Vancouver in seventh. They've got a game in hand, though. This is going down to the wire as well in the West.
Yeah, the game in hand is crucial. Both the East and the West, those final spots really are up for grabs. They're there for the taking. You've got to look at LAFC as well. They're still in the hunt. They're still there. They're only a point off Real Salt Lake as well. Admittedly played a game more, but there's no reason why that you still have to talk about them as being a realistic option. So yeah, disappointing for Real Salt Lake to drop out, and Vancouver are up there now.
They are, yes, and you know, they've had an impressive season for their standards. We didn't expect much from them. They're in the playoff spots. They could easily make playoffs. They've done well. Right, we're going to talk about Inter Miami versus Cincinnati, but not the actual game. Inter Miami won 5-1. Cincinnati, they need a miracle not to finish bottom of to get the wooden spoon. Inter Miami,
they just love that first draft pick, I think.
Yeah, they do. They don't do anything with it, but they do enjoy it. Inter Miami, they are, 5 points off seventh now. They're similar to Columbus Crew. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. No. It's going to be a massive turn of events if they do. But what I want to talk about this game is I was watching it, and the co-commentator for Miami is Ray Hudson, who is a legend in soccer. He's from the UK. He's from Newcastle. He played for Newcastle. But he's
how are you?
His one-liners in commentary are absolutely brilliant, right? So I've got a few. I've got a few here for us to listen to. Now, I'll explain the contents these were in. So the first one, this was for the first goal, and this was talking about the pass to Pizarro, who then crossed it in for Higuain to head it in.
He drops a pane of beer into a shot glass at the end of the bar.
he drops a pint of beer into a shot glass at the end of the bar. I think that means that he's put it on the eye of a needle, like he's managed to find a spot, a space, and a pass that no one else could.
Got a pint glass over there. No shot glasses, though, so we can't try it.
And famously, shot glasses are a lot smaller than pints of beer. So.
Yeah, no idea what he's on about.
The second one, this was I think this was after the second goal. He was complimenting Higuain's finish on this one.
And the finish is as cool as a greyhound's nose.
As cool as a greyhound's nose.
What's cool as a greyhound's nose?
Yeah. I don't.
What?
Yeah. Well, dog's noses are normally wet and cold, but cool as a greyhound's nose.
Is he all right?
He is. I love him. I'm going to watch a lot more of Inter Miami's games. He's been a commentator for years and years. He is Ray Hudson, but he's now found himself in Miami. And now he's talking about another pass that led to a goal.
Softer than a mother's kiss at bedtime.
Softer than a mother's kiss at bedtime.
I'm British and I'm struggling to understand him. Do they know what he's on about? Can they even understand him? That's why he's getting away with it.
Honestly, if you live in Miami, please let us know if you understand any of these. If you need us to translate, we're trying our best. The fourth one, this was fantastic. It's about, I think it was for the fourth goal, Morgan, and he's talking about him keeping his balance.
Brilliant balance, like a Greek belly dancer on a surfboard.
I genuinely can't understand what he's saying. I'm not joking.
Well, I've listened to it over and over again, and he's saying he's got brilliant balance like a Greek belly dancer on a surfboard.
Brilliant balance like a Greek belly dancer on a surfboard.
I tell you what, I might go through in Miami's games this season. When he's been on co-coms, I might try and make a game out of it. The final one, I think it was for the fifth goal, this Morgan again, but he's going on the greyhound theme again. So this is the last one.
Bag of tricks, Indiana, and pulls out this greyhound. Not a rabbit, a flipping greyhound.
So he's not pulled out a rabbit.
He's sponsored by greyhounds.
Maybe.
Greyhound.com.
He's pulled out a flipping greyhound, which, you know, out of a bag of tricks, I guess a bag would be big enough for a greyhound.
Bag of tricks, Indiana, and pulls out this greyhound. Not a rabbit, a flipping greyhound.
Sorry, of course, it weren't Morgan. It was the third goal Indiana scored. But you get my point. What a brilliant goal.
No one's worrying about that bit. Don't worry.
No. But that was the highlight of that game for me. There were six goals and a sending off, but that was the highlight for the game, was listening to Ray Hudson. So hopefully we'll be able to get more of that, and he'll continue next season as well.
I'm absolutely baffled. Can we have a feature called like Ray of Sunshine, where it just
cheers
lifts
us up? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll put that on the list for next season.
Ray of Sunshine.
Minnesota 1, LAFC 1. I tell you who needs a bit of ray of sunshine is Tyler Miller in the Minnesota goal. He will not want to see LAFC's goal again. Arango, free kick. I'm trying to think of how Ray Hudson would describe it. It was a soft catch. It was coming to him like a nice little tortoise who wanted a stroke. But no, he went under his body and went in.
And it's ended up like a bag of greyhound. The thing for Minnesota is that it would have been such a crucial victory. And I think in terms of LAFC, that's maybe what's kept them in the hunt as well. Mm. So it is a big moment.
Minnesota sixth, though, 3 points ahead in the playoffs, only 1 point off a home game. Two teams that are in the home sort of section of the playoffs, if you will, Colorado and Portland. They faced each other this weekend, Colorado 2, Portland 0. Colorado have already clinched their spot in the playoffs, and they only really need a point to guarantee that home game as well. Portland, they're 4 points clear in the playoff level with LA Galaxy in fourth. Colorado, can they challenge top spot?
Well, if there was a team that needed the points in this game, it was Portland. Colorado kind of don't. They're definitely going to be in the top three. I think you'd have been surprised to have seen them up there at the start of the season. You kind of think there's an outside, very, very outside chance they can still go and win the whole thing, the whole West.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, it's likely that Sporting Kansas City are going to make the charge, if anyone, because they've still got a game in hand. But I look at Colorado and think, they just grind out results. No one really pays them much attention. Us included, we're guilty of that. Mm. You know, everyone's looked at SKC and Seattle. There's still an outside chance, surely.
There is, but I tell you what, in the playoffs, if these two face each other, who would you go for?
Colorado.
Really?
Yeah.
Given Portland's experience?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd probably go Portland. But saying that, Colorado, they've surprised us all season. They could well and truly surprise us.
It's all about form.
It is. Although we have seen before that teams in very good form have messed up in the playoffs. And that was making it very exciting. LA Galaxy and FC Dallas, they were the next game. 2-2, this ended up. And because Portland were at MLS UK Show Championship champions, they lost to LA Galaxy last weekend. So that means we have brand new MLS UK Show Championship champions.
LA Galaxy!
They beat Portland last week. They then beat Houston in the week. So drawing 2-2 against Dallas has meant they've kept the title and they'll take it into the remaining games. They were 2-0 down against FC Dallas. So I really think that the comeback was not to do with any playoff places.
No. Because they can't, you know, they're not really fighting for a home tie. They're fighting for the MLS UK Show Championship.
Yeah, exactly. Chicharito scored 2 goals. One was disallowed. One was a penalty. So he's back as well, just in time for the playoffs. We mentioned it with Pato, this is going to be a big moment for LA Galaxy. If he's scoring goals again going into the last few games, they could be challengers in the playoffs.
For me, I think Chicharito coming back is slightly more of an advantage than Pato, who's made of glass. But I think that seriously swings the odds for me. Chicharito seriously makes a massive, massive difference to LA Galaxy.
Where do you put Galaxy then? If you line up the teams in the West, in the West, who are going to be in the playoffs, where would you put in terms of favourites? Where would you put Galaxy with a fit and firing Chicharito?
With Chicharito, I put them above Portland for a start.
Okay.
So I think they'd get a home tie. They'd finish in that top four.
Right.
And I think that means they go deep.
So where would you put them? Ahead of Colorado? Ahead of
level with Colorado.
So they'd, what, a joint third favourite?
Kind of a different approach. Colorado, consistently really good. Galaxy, they've just got the quality on the day, so they could do the damage.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, San Jose won, Vancouver won was the next game. San Jose, 7 points off the playoffs. They will probably be eliminated on Wednesday. Vancouver, we've discussed before, they're seventh in the playoff zone. So they're just in there. They will be out if RSL win. But overall, it's been a good season for Vancouver.
Absolutely. And we talked about the managerial change on the podcast. We were both a bit unsure about it. Thought it was maybe a bit knee-jerk, but it's done the business.
It has, and they'll continue to grow. They'll sort a few things out for next season. And if the fan base are on side in that stadium, they can really be, you know, we've seen it before that teams like LAFC have gone there, big teams who are doing well, and they'll turn them over. So if they can get the fans on side at home, Vancouver could do anything.
Absolutely.
I don't think they'll win MLS Cup, but we said that about New England Revolution, so true. You never know. Finally, Austin 2, Houston 1. I mean, both teams are already eliminated. This is just a battle to not finish bottom of the West. It's not been a great season for Texas. At the moment, the bottom of the West looks like Houston 30 points, Dallas 29, Austin 28. Who's getting the wooden spoon in the West, Elliot?
I'm looking at Houston. I think they haven't won a single away game.
No, it's
that's been a so poor.
Bad season, hasn't it?
That's so poor. And for me, I think they deserve to finish bottom for that. Even Austin have gone away and won 2 games away from home. Austin and Houston have got 6 wins at home. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past Austin to get themselves off the bottom yet.
I tell you what, that win at the start of the season, Austin winning at Colorado, seems a long time ago now.
It does, but it could make all the difference.
Elliot Holman. Henry Hewitt, MLS UK Show.
So as it's been a particularly poor season for our side in Texas, it's time to do the last city in Texas we need to do on Henry's Guide to North America. We've only got 2 places to do after this.
Come on, Nashville.
Yes, Nashville is one of them. We will get round to it, but for now, it's Henry's Guide to Dallas.
Ah, now I know something.
Yeah.
Famous, of course, for its country music.
Yeah, not as much as Nashville, but it's still in there.
Yep.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henners.
Did you know that Dallas has a population of 1.3 million and is the 9th biggest city in the US?
No, I didn't. Please do go on.
There are 3 cities in Texas in the top 10 cities in the States. Houston and San Antonio are above them.
Fair play.
It's famous for a barbecue, chili con queso, which is chili and cheese, according to my high school Spanish, and Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is a link as well to the fact that the north of Texas, which Dallas is in, was actually part of Mexico until 1836.
Very good. I didn't know that either.
The German chocolate cake. German chocolate. Where do you think German chocolate is from?
German chocolate.
Yeah, German chocolate.
Is it French?
No. You're close, though, because people think it's from Germany. However, it's not. Sam German was a baker in Dallas, and that's where German chocolate comes from. But people misconcept it to be is from Germany. Right, I'm going to run through some facts now, like I did last time in Chicago. Just
okay, quick fire.
The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders were the first cheerleaders in the world.
Saw them at the F1 last night.
Well, in the so that was in the 70s. Barney the Dinosaur is technically from Dallas. His creator was from Dallas.
Wow, okay.
Statistics show that the Windy City, the true Windy City, is not Chicago. The wind speeds in Dallas are actually higher than Chicago.
Chicago, you frauds.
The Dallas Farmers Market is the largest in the country. The first shopping centre in the US, the Highland Park Village, that was in Dallas and that's still there today. And the Woodrow Wilson High School, named after the former president, there is a little piece of his history in the brickwork of the high school. Actually, it's a piece of his daughter's history. Would you like to have a guess at what it could be?
I'm slightly concerned, so I'm going to decline the opportunity to guess.
There is a piece of her wedding cake in the brickwork for the Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas. I have no idea. Famous people from Dallas include Vanilla Ice, Nick Jonas, although his brothers aren't from Dallas, strangely enough.
Wow.
Owen Wilson, Post Malone, he moved to Dallas as a kid and was raised there, like Will Smith, but not in Bel Air. Selena Gomez was born in Dallas County, and Demi Lovato was brought up in Dallas as well. And she has a sister called Dallas.
Do you remember when we interviewed Demi Lovato and I tried to get her to be an Orlando fan and she just went, no.
Yeah, when we worked on the radio. You was like, we used to do that, didn't we? Well, we don't work together on that show anymore, so it's fine to say this. But whenever we got an American or Canadian artist, if there's a way we could kind of get MLS in to then try and play the clip on the podcast, we would try to.
And all the time they just go, no, I've never heard of it.
The only person who did was Shawn Mendes.
Yeah.
But that was afterwards when he saw your screensaver on your phone and went, oh, you like soccer? That's Orlando. We were like, we're not recording now. there we go. That was Henry's guide to Dallas.
When do we go to Nashville? When do we go to Nashville?
A couple of episodes, yeah.
What music are we going to use for Nashville? Maybe some hard drum and bass?
Yeah, I think so,
yeah. Some metal, some indie?
That would be good banter, but
some pop punk.
I think Nashville fans wouldn't appreciate it. They've had to listen to what, nearly 26. We've done a few British ones as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've thrown them in, so we're probably approaching 30 times they've had to listen to it or wait for Nashville. So I don't think they'd appreciate that. But yeah, that was Henry's guide to Dallas. So moving to now A Crisis Right. He's come back. We did Three Lies on the show last week. A Crisis Right makes a triumphant return. For those who aren't aware of it, this is Elliot who will... It's like higher or lower, isn't it? You give me higher or lower choices on a certain subject.
Yeah, and as you know, our game with the changing name player was a New England Revolution player to give a nod to the fact that they've just secured the Supporters' Shield. Jason Christ is Right is also to do with the Revs.
Ah.
So, are you ready to play?
Yes.
Henry Hewitt, come on down! Oh, I've missed this music. Did the Three Lies last time instead, didn't we? Okay, so... This is all about the New England Revolution top scorers from the last few seasons.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to give you, I'm going to start with 2020 and we'll work our way back. And you have to tell me whether they scored, their top scorer scored more or less goals than the year before.
Got it.
Okay. So 2020, it was a tie between Teal Bunbury and Boo. And they got 8 goals each.
Okay.
So higher or lower, 2019, it was Carlos Gil.
I think higher.
It is higher. It's 10. Higher or lower than 10, 2018. Again, a tie between Teal Barnbury and Pania.
Higher or lower than 10? I think... just lower.
It was just lower. It was 8. Back to 2017 and one of his 90 clubs, Kai Kamara. But higher or lower than 8?
He does score goals, does Kai Kamara. And also, I can't remember. Did New England make the playoffs that year? Probably did. They had a period of doing quite well. I'm going to say higher.
It is higher. It's 12. Yeah. 2016, higher or lower than 12. The players are Kai Kamara once again and Juan Agudelo.
Oh, higher or lower than 12? Lower.
Yeah, safe bet because it was tied between two players. It's 9. Yeah. 2015, higher or lower than 9?
Higher.
It was Davies and it was 10.
Yes. I'm smashing this.
Okay, this is a tough one.
Okay.
Concentrate on this one. 2014.
Right.
The player is Lee Nguyen.
Lee Nguyen, right.
Higher or lower than 10?
He was top goal scorer.
Because 10's quite hard, isn't it?
Yeah, 10's kind of a benchmark, sort of. That's tough to go. I'm going to go... he was lower? Just?
I would have gone lower as well. But it's higher. It's 20.
Oh. You see, all the seasons sort of mixing to one.
Exactly. Last one, 2013. It was Fagundes, higher or lower than 20, which is obviously a massive benchmark.
Got to be lower, surely.
It is lower. Yeah. 13. Good work. Good work. You did all right there. You only got one wrong. Yeah, that's good for you, especially this season. You've been terrible. Henry Hewitt, thank you very much for playing.
If you have any suggestions for Elliot's Crisis Right, then email us hello@mls.show.
Can you not say Elliot Christ that close together? Because it makes it seem like he's my dad and very much not.
No, Elliot's classic game show on the MLS UK show, Crisis Right. Right, it's time to look ahead to this weekend in MLS. Last episode, we did our predictions. It was 6-3 to me overall. Do you think you won or do you think you lost?
I think I lost.
You were right. You lost again. It's now 7-3. I won 40 points to 20. I got one result right, and that was LAFC to beat San Jose 3-1.
No one cares.
I mean, we'll continue this into the playoffs, but it's, I think my lead is up there with New England Revolution. So we'll run through the matches. If play along at home as well. Send us your predictions to email us, or you can get in touch at MLS UK Show on socials. We'll run through the matches. If you get a correct outcome, let's say you think Orlando will win and they win, you get 5 points. But if you get the right score, so you say they win 2-1 and they win 2-1, you get 10 points. So let's run through the matches then, Elliot.
Yeah, so we always do our predictions for the weekend, but there is some games during the week. So we'll just run through those. LAFC are playing Seattle. It's New England against Colorado. Your boys, Atlanta, face Inter Miami. Cincinnati play Nashville. It's Columbus against Orlando. DC play New York. New York City play Chicago. Toronto at home to Philadelphia. Dallas against Real Salt Lake. Kansas City are at home to LA Galaxy. Portland face San Jose. And Vancouver play Minnesota.
Yes, so at the weekend then, we're kicking off in Miami. So this is 6:30 on Saturday evening here in the UK. It's Halloween weekend, so who will be having a fright? Will it be Miami or New York City?
You sound like the guy who'll be commentating on the game. I believe this is a big victory for New York, who really need to turn up the heat, or keep the heat turned up, should I say, after their win against DC. They need a strong finish to get that final spot for a home tie. I'm going to say 3-1 New York City.
Well, Miami, it's so difficult to predict because one week they can score loads of goals. The next week they'll concede. I think they'll lose this one. I think it'll be 3-0 to New York City FC.
Real Salt Lake are playing San Jose, and I'm pegging them for a win. I'm also hitting myself in the face with a microphone, getting too excited. I'm going to say 2-0 Real Salt Lake.
I think RSL will win as well. San Jose, we've discussed, they'll probably be out by this point anyway, eliminated. So I think RSL will win at home. I think it'll be 3-2.
Now, here's a difficult one to call. New York Red Bulls against Montreal.
Yes, depending what happens on Wednesday night, this could be, I mean, Montreal aren't playing on Wednesday, so this is their next MLS match, but this could be a as we call in the UK, a six-pointer, and this could have a bigger say on what happens in the playoffs. I think I think New York Red Bulls will win. I think it'll be 2-0.
I'm going 2-2.
Atlanta versus Toronto.
Easy, home win, 4-0, next.
I don't know. Toronto, I was impressed by them in a way.
No, you weren't.
Last weekend.
No, you weren't.
I still think Atlanta will win. I think it'd be 3-1. But, I mean, for Atlanta, they didn't play last weekend. But into Miami and Toronto at home, two games in a row, that could be a big say, a massive say. Win both of them, they're in the playoffs.
Absolutely. DC United against Columbus. Early hours for us over here on Sunday morning. Tough one to call this.
Yeah, it's a big week for DC after last weekend. I think they'll win, though. Columbus, as we've said, are all but eliminated. So DC will win. I think it'll be... I think they'll get a 1-0.
I'm getting another draw, 1-1.
FC Dallas versus Austin. This is going to have a big say on who finishes bottom of the West. How do you see this one going?
I mean, part of me wants to say Austin, but I think... The stats say FC Dallas, so I'm going to go for a 2-0 Dallas win.
I think 2-2. I think it'll be a draw. They'll take it to the last game on who's going to be the worst team in the West. Minnesota versus SKC. This is a big game now. I mean, SKC have already secured their playoff spot. Minnesota are looking to, but this could have a big say on who finishes against that fourth spot.
I think Minnesota win this.
Yeah?
Mm. Surprise. I know it's not as clear cut, but I'm going to go 1-0.
I fancy Minnesota won't lose. Well, actually, this is SKC. It's tough, this one. It's tough. I'm going to go right in the middle. I'm going to go 1-1.
Houston play Colorado. It has to be a Colorado win for me, and I think it'll be heavy. I think 3-0.
Houston, I would agree with you, but that Houston v Seattle result a few weeks ago has made me think, are Houston suddenly going to turn up against better side? I'm going to play it safe and go for a Colorado win, but it'd be 2-1.
I don't think it's playing it safe. I think it's playing it sensible. Orlando play Nashville because they've not played them in a couple of weeks, so that's good. It's 2-1 Orlando. Don't ask me why.
I think it'd be another 2-2, but this time Nashville will get the late goals.
Mm, great. Philadelphia play Cincinnati.
Oh, easy.
It's a case of how many, isn't it? I'm going to go... 3-0 Philadelphia.
I think 4-0. A thrashing. Last then, it's a Monday night football match. We don't normally have Monday night football in MLS, but we have this time. So Seattle versus LA Galaxy. There's not many bigger games to do it for, to be fair.
I mean, you call it Monday night. I mean, it's 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. I get up at 3 a.m. It's not exactly my Monday evening, I'll be honest. are we including this one?
Yeah, because it's part of the weekend, yeah.
Is it? I'm going to go for 2-0 Seattle.
Yeah, I fancy Seattle, actually. I think LA Galaxy has scored, though, so I'm going to go 3-1 Seattle.
Okay, we'll see how we get on. Spoiler alert, Henry will win. I have no clue what I'm talking about. Standard.
Thanks very much for watching. If you want to get involved with your predictions, then please do. But before we go, Elliot, I know it is. I'm quite confident on this.
I'm really... where was I? I never heard of this guy. I feel bad now.
So go on. Go through his career path. The guy for the game with a change of name.
So this is a player who's played in the UK and in MLS. And he's 50 years old this year. Born 1971 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Started his career, though, at Starbucks. No, it's not Starbucks. It's Saarbrücken. And then moved to Nuremberg. Played 27 times for Nuremberg, scored 8 goals. And then his career really takes off when he goes to New England Revolution. So he goes back home to America, plays 90 times, scores 49 goals, and gets a move to Everton. Mm. Plays 52 times for Everton, scores 8 goals, and then goes back to New England Revolution until 2004 when he retired. Played 100 times for the USA as well, and his name is
Joe Max Moore.
Yes, I've never heard of him.
He's a name, as I said before, his name just sticks out. I remember watching it on Match of the Day here in the UK and just being like, I think because he's American, we didn't really get, we had Brad Friedel and Casey Keller, but not any attacking Americans anyway. And his name just stuck out to me, and I've always remembered. But I know he had a good career with the US and New England Revolution. So I'll take that one, an easy one for me this week. Well done if you got it right as well at home.
Yeah, congratulations. Good work. I'd stand corrected. And come and replace me because I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
Join us next time. It will be our playoff preview episode. Can't wait for
that's where it gets started for me. Yes. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
We can get rid of all the dead wood. We won't be talking about Cincinnati or Toronto or Austin anymore,
or Orlando,
only the top 14. But thank you very much. If you'd like to help us out, subscribe on your podcast provider, also subscribe on YouTube if you're watching it here, click like as well, and leave a rating on your podcast provider. We're going to be continuing throughout the playoffs until the very end, when we then do our, just before Christmas time, we do a year sort of a full year episode of looking back and seeing our highlights and stuff like that. So can't wait for that. And yeah, lots to look forward to on the MLS UK show. And once again, thank you very much. If you voted for us in the Football Content Awards, we got bronze this year. Okay, we got silver last year, but still, to be on the podium is really humbling. And yeah, we really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. We go again next year for gold. We need your help. Thank you for listening. I have been Elliot Holman. I'll continue to be as well.
And I'm Henry Hewitt, and I'll always be, and I'll always say at the end of the episode, see ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.